Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
All right, 6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about immigration and Mexico deciding, you know what, we're not going to be that third country anymore, basically. I mean, let's welcome in David Beer, our friend, immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thank
you for coming on. I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt you. So when it comes to a third country, And I mentioned this to our last guest. There's an old joke about a guy sitting on a roof, and three boats come to save him, and he says, no, the Lord will provide. And then he dies, drowns, and goes to heaven, and he says, why didn't you save me? And God says, well, I sent three boats. Is this kind of a deal when it comes to applying for immigration at the first country you reach where you can't wait for the second or third boat, you got to take the first one? Is that the way it was supposed to be with Mexico, and was it helping?
Well, right. That's essentially what the U.S. is requesting Mexico take care of this problem for us by accepting all of these people who don't want to live there. And, you know, ultimately, we all know what's actually driving these people to come to the border. It's the 7.2 million job openings in the United States. And, you know, of course, they face some real problems in their home country in terms of violence, but what's driving this is economics, and so there's no amount of cajoling that will convince these people that Mexico should be their destination.
So then it would be a misnomer to say that they're applying for asylum, right? Even if they say that, because they're really coming for the jobs, or am I messing that up?
Right. I mean, people can have multiple motivations, right? Like, they can face some real threats at home. I mean, these are some of the most violent countries in the world, but at the end of the day, you know, the job openings is what's going to finance their ability to come to the United States and make it worthwhile for them. Going to Mexico, where the violent crime rate, homicide rate is higher than Guatemala, for example, isn't a benefit to them. There's no reason for them to even try to do that. So at the end of the day, this is ultimately all about reaching the U.S., fill these jobs that we need people for, and, you know, asylum in Mexico is worthless.
So are the immigration laws preventing them from filling the 7.2 million job openings about which you speak?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you looked at the situation from a satellite, essentially what we're doing, you know, looking at it from the perspective of an alien, you know, observing this from outer space, what we're doing is we're facilitating worker migration from Central America at the cost of billions of dollars and, you know, putting people through inhumane detention facilities and separating families and all these things that are happening at the border. Also, people can come to the United States and fill jobs at dairies and restaurants and livestock and poultry plants like the one that got raided in Mississippi. And the reality is none of these places have access to a guest worker visa. And if they did, this problem wouldn't exist.
So do you then just ignore the law, David, or do you get Congress to get off their rear ends and pass a law that makes sense?
Oh, I mean, this should be the number one issue for Congress if they care about this problem, because it's not going away. As long as there's an economic incentive for people to come to the border, they're going to come by hook or by crook. I mean, that's, you know, if it's not asylum, it's going to be sneaking in. If we build a wall, they're going to build a tunnel. Because at the end of the day, if you can make 12 times as much as you can make in your home country, as is in the case for all of these Central American countries, you're going to do it. I mean, you're making as much in 1 month as you make an entire year. So it's always going to pay off to figure out a way to get here.
Let me take a break here. When we come back, somebody texted this in, and I think it's interesting. They said 7.2 million job openings now, but what happens if the economy takes a downturn And then all of a sudden, Americans, citizens are clamoring to get those 7.2 million jobs, or some of them. What do you do then? Do you fire illegals? Do you send them back? What is fair? What is legal? What is right? We'll pick it up there when we come back. It's 6:49, Tommy Tucker, WWL. If you have any thoughts about immigration or our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, which is asking you, when it comes to the so-called dreamers, these are people who were brought here as kids by their parents, and their country really is the United States, not their home country. Will allowing a path to citizenship in exchange for border wall funding be a good compromise? As it stands now, 68% are saying no. We'll pick it up here when we come back. 10 till 7, time now, WWL Traffic. 6:55, 5 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. If you go to WWL.com, you will find our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll, which says, would allowing a path to citizenship for border wall funding be a good compromise? In other words, what you'd be saying is, all right, build a wall to keep illegals out, but those that are here already, give them a path to citizenship. And I would guess, especially if they were the so-called dreamers. David Beer is our guest immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. So, David, before you were saying before the break about 7.2 million job openings that illegals could fill, and somebody texted in and said, that's fine. Basically, you know, media, some people have been talking about recession, some economists, and you can find an economist to say whatever you want, pretty much, say it's going to happen. Some say that it's not going to happen. And their question is, well, what happens if the economy takes a downturn and all of a sudden there are citizens that want these 7.2 million jobs that apparently now they don't because of better opportunities? Is that accurate?
Well, right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have really, really low unemployment. Of course, President Trump is touting this. And what that really means is if you leave these job openings open and no one's filling them, that means that businesses can't keep expanding. And if you can't expand, if you can't expand production, then that means it's harder for wages to keep going up and the economy to continue to expand. So there's a benefit to U.S. workers who are already filling jobs elsewhere to have these workers come in. We already know what would happen if the economy took a downturn. We've run this experiment back in 2009 when we had the Great Recession, and what happened was exactly what you would expect. You had immigrant workers leaving the country in droves. You had more than a million people who in illegal status leave the country between 2007 and 2009. And specifically, the number of new illegal immigrants trying to get into the United States declined dramatically from Mexico in particular, but also from Central America. So people come for jobs when jobs are available, and that's why it's ticking up. I mean, this is why we're having record numbers of people coming in from Central America, because jobs are available now. Mexicans have a different situation. Mexicans are taking advantage of the guest worker visas that are available for seasonal agricultural work and seasonal work in hotels and other industries. There's no such visa available for Central Americans, and so they're coming in and filling the year-round jobs for which there are no visas available, like in poultry and dairy and these other industries.
So wait, the jobs are available, the jobs, they need people to, and I'm not trying to be flippant about this, pluck the chickens, right? But yet the United States won't grant worker visas for people to do this, so the company's caught in a lurch, and the only thing they really can do is hire illegals because they can't find citizens to do it, they can't find legals to do it. The people that want to come in and do it can't get a work visa, so that's pretty much all that's left to them?
Exactly. So they come to the border and they think they're doing it the right way. This is how they know everyone who's immigrated to the United States. There was a great story in the Wall Street Journal last year where a guy was seen walking across the border with his son, and he walks up to the Border Patrol agent and he says, "I'm looking for the immigration office." And, you know, this is what they're told. This is the story in Central America. How you immigrate to the United States, you walk across the border, you ask for a Border Patrol agent, and they direct you to the immigration office where you can apply for legal status. And obviously that's not the right way, but to overcome that belief, you have to do something different. You have to change the laws to do that.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your time. David Beer, immigration policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Next half hour, we're going to talk about vaping.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.